Can you serve God at your day job? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
You know, so many people say, oh man, I wish I could get out of this rat race and serve God. Friend, that's split-level living. Don't get the idea that you have to get into the, quote, ministry to serve God. You have a great opportunity to serve the Lord. You see, so many people despise their job and can hardly wait to get here on Sunday so they can, quote, serve the Lord. And there's a bridge between their work life and their worship life. We need to put a little spiritual dynamite under that bridge. You are serving God full time wherever you work and no matter how mundane your job might be.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the timeless teaching of acclaimed pastor and Bible teacher Adrian Rogers. As Christians, we have the chance to put joy, zest, and dignity into the most mundane jobs. Even the most unglamorous workplace can be a ministry opportunity if we'll remember three principles from Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bible handy, turn there now. We'll begin in verse 5 as we hear part 2 of Turning the Rat Race into a Pilgrimage. Once again, here's Adrian Rogers.
We're speaking today about turning the rat race into a pilgrimage. And this is especially needful, not for those who have exotic jobs, but those who have what we would call very ordinary jobs. Now, the three principles I want to give you, but first of all, let's read the scripture here. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now, he's not talking about the church life now. When he says your masters according to the flesh, he's talking about what we would call today your boss in the secular occupation. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. You serve your boss as if he were Jesus. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, do you know my boss, that two-legged devil? Well, that's what he's talking about here. Your masters, according to the flesh, treat him as if he is Jesus. And not with eye service. That is, not just working when he's watching. Or as men pleasers, not trying to butter him up to get a promotion. But as the servants of Christ, watch this, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You're not going to work tomorrow for your boss. You're going to work tomorrow for Jesus Christ. I don't care what you do it as to the Lord and not to men. And then notice this, here's the hidden paycheck. Knowing that whatsoever good any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Are you ready for these three principles that can put a little grace in the rat race? That can turn the rat race into a pilgrimage. Principle number one, see your job as an opportunity and be grateful. If you have a job, be grateful. It is a God-given opportunity. You see, for some people, the work is a necessary evil. For some people, it's a cruel master. For some people, it is a demanding God. But what you need to see your work is an opportunity, a God-given opportunity, and be grateful. It is a loving gift. You say, my job? If you have a job, be grateful. It is a gift from God. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23, in all labor there is profit. Now here's the second principle. Not only see your job as an opportunity and be grateful, but see your job as a responsibility and be helpful. Look, if you will, now in verses 6 and 7. Do your job not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, watch this, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Did you know that your job is really a partnership with God, even if it's what we call a secular job? Did you know that? Don't you think that your job is not important? Your job is a part of all of this. You are to be helpful to others, and you're to help yourself be helpful. If you're lazy, if you refuse to work, there's something bad wrong with you. And I would say something else. If you don't have a job, go to somebody and say, look, would you hire me? He says, no, I can't. All right, would you let me work for you for nothing? Just let me work for you for nothing. You tell me what to do. I will work for you for nothing. Before long, you'll have a job anyway. But if nothing else, you will have the joy of work. Get out and get busy doing something. The Bible says, listen to this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 and following. For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, it doesn't say could not work, it says would not work, neither should he eat. It is a sin to feed a person who refuses to work. A sin. If he will not work, don't let him eat. By the way, he'll start working after a while if you do that. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. He's talking about your job. And then we're supposed to take care of our children, not somebody else. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially those for his own house, he hath denied the faith, he's worse than an infidel. And then over in Ephesians chapter 4, we're in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says this concerning the man who's gotten right with God. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. He's not talking now about working in the temple. He's talking about what we call secular work. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You don't work just to meet your needs. You work to meet the needs of other people. That you have enough, not only for yourself, but you have enough to give to others who need. He's not talking about those who will not work. He's talking about those who cannot work, and there are plenty of them. And friend, when a person cannot work, it is our joy, our duty, it is our responsibility to do enough work for ourselves and to do enough work for them also. To help those who need help. Now, listen, you see your job as an opportunity and be grateful. You see your job as a responsibility and be helpful. The Lord Jesus was a carpenter. He knew what it was to work. Now, here's the third thing I want you to see. The three principles here. See your job as a ministry and be faithful. Yes, your job is an opportunity. Yes, your job is a responsibility. But friend, your job is a ministry. Look at verses 5 through 7 again. Listen to it. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart. Now underscore this. As unto Christ. Verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Underscore that. Now he's talking about secular work. Doing the will of God from the heart. Look at verse 7. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord. Could it be any more plain? That ought to put dignity in what you do. You're going to work tomorrow morning for Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ. You are serving God. You know, so many people say, oh man, I wish I could get out of this rat race and serve God. Friend, that's split-level living. Don't get the idea that you have to get into the, quote, ministry to serve God. You have a great opportunity to serve the Lord. You see, so many people come to church on Sunday like it's a weekend hobby. Or on the other hand, they're going to despise their job and can hardly wait to get here on Sunday so they can, quote, serve the Lord. And there's a bridge between their work life and their worship life. We need to put a little spiritual dynamite under that bridge. You are serving God full time wherever you work and no matter how mundane your job might be. Let me ask you a question. Would you agree with this? 1/10 of your money and 1/7 of all of your time belongs to God. Be careful. It's a trick question. That's wrong. Friend, it's not 1/10 of your money belongs to God. All your money belongs to God. It's not 1/7 of your time that belongs to God. All of your time belongs to God. Do you think your life is like a pie? And you say, well, I'm going to slice it, you know, and I'll put all these slices, and I'll take one-tenth of my financial pie, and I'll take that and slice out, and I give that to God, and then I've got nine-tenths to do what I want with. No. You say, well, I'm going to give God a whole day on Sunday. That's the Lord's day. Then I've got 6 days of my own. No. Friend, every day is a holy day. Every place is a sacred place. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that put some dignity into it? And say, well, if it's drudgery, then that puts more dignity into it. Lord Jesus, I'm willing to endure drudgery for you. And if you're getting a difficulty, say, Lord Jesus, look what I am doing for you. And there is a delightfulness in even doing that which is undignified. Now, let me give you the classic example of this. There's a man named Daniel. And Daniel was taken to Babylon. Not of his own free will. He did not go to some business council and say, what do you think I'd be good at doing? Nor did he choose, after getting a degree in business from some university, as to where he'd go. Daniel was what we would call a victim of circumstances. But it wasn't circumstances. Remember what I told you, that those Jews were carried away captive into Babylon, and God had caused it? See, God was over it. And so here's Daniel. He is there in Babylon. And he has a job. Now, he got into the government service. And he became a governmental employee, a functionary in the government. But he served God while he was working for a pagan ruler. And when they threw old Daniel in the lion's den, Darius the king looked into the lion's den. And he said there in Daniel 6, verse 16, Daniel, the God that you serve continually has delivered you. Even this pagan king knew that Daniel, in his ordinary work, was really serving God. Now, I know some of you feel like, Pastor, you just don't know what is out there. Well, you don't know what I'm facing. You think Daniel lived in Babylon? Man, I live in Babylon. All around me, God's name is taken in vain. All around, there are dirty jokes and sexual innuendos. All around, there are people laughing and mocking at holy things. It's dog-eat-dog, they're stepping on one another. Unfair business practices. Pastor, you just don't know what it's like, materialism and greed and all of that. Well, I want to ask you a question. Do you think it's God's plan that you live in a monastery and that you just go off and get some hole somewhere and pluck a harp or something? Listen to what Jesus prayed. John chapter 17, verse 15, for his saints, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. He's saying, hey, you're going to live with fornicators, covetous, and idolatrous people. In this world, they're all around us. The Bible says there in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. John tells us, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We've been saved out of the world, sent back into the world to witness to the world, and that's the only business in the world we have till we're taken out of the world when Jesus comes. We're in this world, but not of this world. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you're the light of the world, he doesn't say you're the light of the church. He said, you're the light of the world. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You know what we do on Sunday? We come to church and we shine our flashlights on each other. And I'll salt him and he'll salt me. We're salting each other. No. This is the church. We are the light of the world. That's the reason you're in your job where you are. Where do you put a lighthouse? Downtown Manhattan? Or out on some barren coast? Where is your light to shine? Listen to Philippians 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That is why you are there in that place that you call Babylon. That is why Daniel was there. You say, well, I want to get out of there so I can serve God. Stay there and serve God. That's where the salt is needed. You don't put the salt in one barrel and the fish in another. That's where the light is needed. Your job is an opportunity. Be grateful. Your job is responsibility. Be helpful. Your job is a ministry. Be faithful. I've told you before about four things that I want you to do if tomorrow morning when you go to work. And they're easy to remember, but jot them on a slip of paper. If you would be a witness, if you'd let your light shine, here's what it is. Number one, do not brag. Do not brag. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, if you go around there showing what a good boy you are, your light is to glow, not to glare. They're to see the light, not the lamp. Self-righteous people are the most obnoxious people on earth. You go in there and you start telling this people, you ought not to go down those casinos. It's like, would you get out of here? No, don't brag. Number two, don't nag. Don't nag. Don't always go around wagging your finger in people's face. They don't want to hear it. Nobody's ever won to Jesus by being talked down to. The Bible says in Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, walk in wisdom toward them which are without, redeeming the time. Now listen to this. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Listen, walk in wisdom toward those who are without. You say, well, they're doing all these bad things, preacher. Of course they are. They're sinners. That's what sinners do. Sin. Don't go in there trying to teach Billy Goats not to butt. That is what they do. Don't you brag. And don't you nag. And don't you lag, L-A-G. You carry your part of the load at the job. As a matter of fact, you work just a little harder than anybody else. It's a sin for a Christian to do less than his best. Remember that scripture in Colossians 3, verse 23? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. When a man goes down to the employment agency, he'll say, I need some workers, I need this and this and this. And by the way, if you have any Christians, send them over. Man, I don't understand these people. They're the hardest working people. They get here on time. They do what is required of them. They do more than is required of them. You know, if people start living like that on Monday, they start believing what I preach on Sunday. Did you know that? I mean, if we were to take what's in this place and just put it out into the community, don't brag, don't nag, don't lag, and here's the last one, don't sag. Don't sag. Never let down in your Christian faith. I mean, they will remember one little malfeasance more than so much good that you do. Don't sag. Don't let down. Don't look at that dirty, obscene joke. Don't join in some sort of petty gossip. Don't let down. Don't sag in your Christian witness. Well, you say, well, Pastor, I haven't got what it takes. That's right. You don't. There's only one person who's ever lived the Christian life. You know his name? Jesus. And if he's lived in that office where you work, it'll be Jesus in you. And that's the reason that you need to get up a little earlier tomorrow morning and have that quiet time with the Lord and load up on the Lord Jesus Christ and be so filled with him that when you walk into that office, God will be walking into that office because Christ will be in you. And you'll see your job as an opportunity and you'll be thankful. And you'll see your job as a responsibility and you'll be helpful. And then you'll see your job as a ministry and you'll be faithful. And you know what'll happen? I'll just guarantee you, they will come to you. I say, hey man, what makes you tick? How do you live this way? You're different. They will see the difference. They'll see the reality of Jesus Christ in you. Folks, I'm going to tell you this much. Most people are not all that interested in going to heaven or hell. They want to know how to hack it on Monday. That's right. you just come into your job with victory. With victory. And let them see the light, the love, the joy, the peace that Jesus Christ gives you. I'm not talking about bragging. I'm just talking about reality. And I'm not saying that you never share Jesus. You do share Jesus. But you share Jesus in the right way. Let the grace of Jesus come out of your life. Share the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the people that you work with at home and on the job who are your first responsibility. And God will bless you for it. Tomorrow morning, get up and say, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Oh, Lord God, here I am in the full-time ministry. And I'm going off to serve my Lord and my Savior.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen.
Now, you can't do this without Jesus. You can't do this unless you're saved. Remember, I told you, there's only one who's ever lived the Christian life. His name is Jesus. And if he's lived in your home or in your office or in your factory, in your place of business, it'll be Jesus Christ in you. And he will come into you, energize you, give you peace and purpose if you trust him. If you do not know Jesus, let me help you to be saved right now. You can be saved right now. I mean right now for all eternity, instantaneously and eternally today, now. If you will receive Jesus Christ, he died for you. He paid for your sin with his blood on the cross. He proved to be the Son of God by the resurrection with many infallible proofs. He died to save you. He promised to save you. He lives to save you. He will save you if you'll trust him. Pray a prayer like this. Pray right now, dear God, I know that you love me, and I know that you want to save me. Jesus, you died to save me. You promised to save me if I would trust you. I do trust you, Jesus. Friend, tell him that right now, right now. Do it for your sake. I do trust you, Jesus, with all of my heart. Forgive my sin, cleanse me, save me. Save me, Lord Jesus. Did you ask him? Then by faith, pray this way. Thank you for doing it. I receive it by faith. I don't look for feeling. I stand on your word. You're now my Lord, my Savior, and my God. Begin now to make me the person you want me to be. And help me never, ever, Jesus, to be ashamed of you because you died for me. I will live for you. Not in order to be saved, but because I have been saved, I will live for you. I love you, Jesus. Give me the courage to make it public. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And if you prayed to receive Jesus just now, let us celebrate with you. Go to our Find God's Love page at the website, and you'll discover more insights about your newfound faith. You'll also find the opportunity to take the next steps in your walk with God. Go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Find God's Love. Welcome to His forever family. We can't wait to hear from you today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, Turning the Rat Race into a Pilgrimage. This message is also part of a powerful series, Cultivating a Deeper Faith, How to Strengthen Your Spiritual Life. For that complete six-message collection, call 877-LOVE-GOD or order online at lwf.org/radio. Or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Thank you for studying with us in God's Word today. As you enter your workplace, remember these powerful words from Pastor Rogers. Your light is to glow, not to glare. They are to see the light, not the lamp. Share the love of Jesus today and tune in next time for more profound truth simply stated right here on Love Worth Finding. A friend wrote to us recently and said these encouraging words, "My husband and I listened to the daily broadcast every day, almost without fail. We were both saved as children and raised in Christian homes, so we've been believers for many years. We believe Adrian Rogers was one of the most gifted preachers there ever was." You know, at Love Worth Finding, our mission continues to be to draw people to Jesus and help believers grow deeper in their faith. And to thank you for your gift of support that helps us do that right now, we'd love to send you a copy of our book, Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. When we think about the miracles in Scripture, we need to remember their purpose was to deepen our trust in Him, not our trust in the miracles themselves. This book will change the way you view God and His work in our lives and show us how the seven miracles highlighted in the book of John are relevant to you and me today. Request this resource when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD.